This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, however you're taking us in this morning and any morning. We appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, alongside producer number nine. So much more than a producer. So much more. What are some of your other roles? Bouncer.
Make sure Danny gets to the bathroom okay.
That's right.
That worked okay during the break. You know, other things. Check out the casino. Trying to figure out who's smoking weed in the casino this morning.
Does all of it.
Yeah, does all it all.
This is one of my favorite times of year because it's our Aaron is kind enough to come quarterly with us on a numbers game. He also does the Megapod once a year. But this is the one that has gone back the furthest in podcast history. We used to do this on the Betting Dork podcast all the way back in 2011, which is his post-regular season appearance to discuss DVOA historicals, and we'll get into awards in the second segment because he's an awards voter as well. He'll share whatever he's willing to about his thoughts on those. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Aaron Schatz, the chief analytics officer over at FTN, and for our purposes, the creator of DVOA, which, of course, analyzes football on a play-by-play basis, granular level, against average, league average on those particular plays, all the way back to 1978. That's as far as they've gone back. Aaron Schatz joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning, Aaron. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy 2026 to you.
We appreciate it. So we were just chatting briefly off air. I love this because there are historical contexts, categories that, you know, sometimes, some years, the barely any of them for all the 32 teams. This year, is this the most ever where you can kind of put stuff in top 10s historically?
I mean, since I started doing it and looking back historically, this is the most I can remember where there were teams that were all like top 10 run offense and top 10 best teams to make the playoffs, worst teams to make the playoffs or whatever. Like there's tons of them. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's start by just showing, here's your top 10 best DVOA teams from this year of 2025 in the NFL. Seahawks,
right,
edge the Rams at the top. And then I guess the interesting ones, Aaron, that people will be like, really? The Lions, I think some people would be like, okay, I can kind of see that. Third best. Colts, fifth best. What say you about that one?
The first thing I should point out is this is for the entire season. So this is not weighted towards the second half of the year. If you weight it towards the second half of the year, now the Jaguars are third, the Patriots are fourth, and the Colts are 13th.
Okay, there you go. There's the
explanation. So they collapsed. The Colts were super ridiculously strong in the first half of the year and then completely collapsed, especially once Daniel Jones got hurt.
How did the Bears end up with the weighted DVOA?
In weighted, the Bears are 10th.
Okay. I think that tracks.
So the Bears also were better in the second half of the year, like the Patriots and the Jaguars. Yes.
Okay.
It's still amazing to me, though. Like, that tells you how good the Colts were in the first half of the season to still stay, to remain here at the end of the season.
Do you remember a collapse?
Yeah, they
like
were
that?
Number one after week eight when they were 7-1. They were number one at that point, and then everything was downhill from there.
Just on memory, do you remember a collapse like that from one half of the year to the other?
I mean, there have been teams in the past. There was a year that San Diego started 4-0 or something and ended up like 6-10 or something.
Yeah.
So there have been collapses in the past, but this is a pretty big one, yeah.
All right, so let's go to the historicals because there's so many of them this year. So we just mentioned Seahawks and Rams are 1-2 in DVOA for the entire season. Historical all the way back to 1978, as we have said many, many times, 2007 Patriots, 1991 Skins, 1985 Super Bowl Shuffle Bears. 1, 2, 3 epic NFL teams. Aaron, where do you have these Seahawks and Rams ranked historically?
Shockingly high. The Seahawks are 7th and the Rams are 9th. And I know there's some skepticism about this because the fact is that for the last couple of years, I have had these teams extraordinarily historically high. It's not something that happened between 2011 and 2021. And then for the last 4 years, we've had these historically high teams that haven't won the Super Bowl. But if you look at the Seahawks and the big wins they had over other good opponents, and they are the best defense in the league. I mean, if maybe you argue with me. Maybe you think they're the second best defense in the league. They were a great offense for the first half of the year. The offense has really kind of declined since then. They're the second best special teams. This is a really great all-around team, the Seahawks. I know we're all questioning the quarterback, but as far as regular season performance, this was a great all-around team.
And the Rams right up there too. That and that
from yeah, powerful offense, the Rams, and all of their losses were very close.
And that and you're okay with that. Your eye test tells you that sounds reasonable to you that they are top 10 teams of all time since 78, that is.
No, I don't know. Eye test wise, there are other teams I probably put a little bit higher, but I'd have them like top 20. You know, when you go back and you look at some of the teams from the 90s, you would be surprised how many close games teams like the 92 Cowboys played.
Yeah.
Like we think of them as being ultra super dominant, but they didn't have as many blowout wins as we remember.
I think that's such a great point. Our memory does purge those. Now, there were some historically bad units, which I think is fascinating too. Worst offenses in history. So let's forget about full teams. Let's just focus on the offensive unit. Which is our historical from this year?
The Cleveland Browns were the number 9 worst offense.
Wow.
And the Las Vegas Raiders were the number 7 worst running game. Sorry, 8. Number 8 worst running game. Despite drafting a running back 6th overall who broke a lot of tackles.
Yes.
It is not Ashton Jeanty's fault.
Oh, not Ashton Jeanty's fault. It was the Lions'
How
fault.
Many tackles can you break in the backfield?
That's what he said when they drafted. Like, why don't you guys draft the guy that no one can tackle? He was right about man. That. All right, worst defenses. Who historically from this year landed in the top 10?
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Were the 4th worst DVOA defense ever.
How quick do you think that that interview with Jerry Jones and Eberflus went at the end of the year?
3 seconds.
Matt, I don't think I have to say anything. We're moving on.
But they were not the worst pass defense this year because the Jets, with their ridiculous 0 interceptions, were the 2nd worst pass defense since 1978. The Jets, only the 1981 Baltimore Colts had a worse pass defense DVOA than the 2025 Jets. And the 2025 Jets are an astonishing team. They were number 1 in special teams with one of the best special teams units ever. If you take out special teams and you only look at offense and defense, they were the 3rd worst team I've ever measured.
Wow. So the New York Jets, they had the, so let's just review that again. The Jets had the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th best special teams historically ever. And they had all kinds of punt returns and kickoff returns, touchdowns, the 2nd worst pass defense ever. And so end up, if you take out the special teams, you're saying they're the 3rd worst team period ever. That's incredible.
Yep. 30th. They were 30th in offense and 31st in defense this year. And if you take out the special teams, the only teams that were worse were the 05 49ers and the 91 Colts.
Oh, man. And here I thought the Falcons were the most confusing team of the season. I guess not. The Jets.
Well, the Falcons and Panthers were confusing because you never knew who they were going to win or lose
That's
to
right.
all year. The Jets, you knew they were going to score a punt return touchdown and lose in every other fashion.
Remember that game? They had back-to-back also punt return and kickoff return, I believe, touchdowns in one game as well.
They also had great punting and kicking. Like, everything about special teams was good for them.
Well, you got that to lean on, New York Jets fans. All right, best total. So we had teams with losing records. We had a team with a losing record this year that ends up at the top of the heap. Oh, you may have already mentioned them. The best losing record team of all time.
The Colts had the best DVOA ever for a team with a losing record, surpassing the 1990 San Diego Chargers.
Wow.
Most of the teams on this list were better the next year, except for the 1990 San Diego Chargers, who were 4-12 the next year.
Oh, no. Did we have another losing team on this board as well from this year?
The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens were one of the best losing teams ever. Goodbye, John Harbaugh.
Wow. All right, this is a little different because we're not talking about losing record now necessarily, but how about best total DVOA to miss the playoffs?
Yep, the 2025 Lions were number 7 on that list, and the 2025 Colts are number 10.
This is an amazing year. Like, this is, for people who are just tuning in for the first time, you never have this many categories with top 10 historicals. This is incredible.
No, it's kind of crazy. And it's fun. You know, I always love to history. You talk about the best teams to miss the playoffs. You get to talk about things like 91 49ers, where Steve Bono ended up as the quarterback for most of the year. And it's great historical discussion of the NFL. It's crazy how many of these extremes there were in 2025. Just really crazy.
All right, this one isn't an Aaron Schatz DVOA over at FTN Sports, by the way, which we'll get into how you can get all of Aaron's stuff here momentarily. But biggest Pythagorean underperformer. So this is like the old baseball Bill James thing. Points scored, points given up. Who was the biggest underperformer?
The Chiefs are the 5th biggest Pythagorean underperformer since 1970, which is wild.
Yeah, it is.
Because last year they were the biggest Pythagorean overachiever since 1970.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. Interesting.
Yeah. They went from overachiever to underachiever in a ridiculously extreme fashion.
All right. Last one before we go to the awards after the break. Easiest schedule, Patriots. Where did they land?
3rd easiest schedule since 1978, but the 2 teams with easier schedules were the 91 Bills and the 99 Rams, and both of those teams made the Super Bowl.
And one of them won it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
One of them won it, yeah. Yep.
Rams
seeding
won
is good. Home field is good.
So there you go. We might have had the easy schedule, but in the end, didn't matter for those two clubs. Aaron Schatz on the other side, coming back. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil, Kelly, in the house here at Circa. Aaron Schatz, kind enough to join us for a second segment, the Chief Analytics Officer over at FDN Sports, creator of DVOA, as we did a whole segment on the historicals, which is pretty amazing. And you can follow him on Twitter at AschatzNFL, that's S-C-H-A-T-Z, AschatzNFL. Aaron, thanks for hanging out with us again. Tell everybody where they can find all your stuff at FDN. What's the easiest way?
First of all, I should point out I'm on all the social medias. I'm also on the Threads at AschatzNFL and Blue Sky at AaronSchatz.com. And FTNFantasy.com, you get an FTN Fantasy subscription and you get all the DVOA splits. You can download all the historical numbers. You get all of our game charting. So you get stats on man versus zone quarterbacks and how teams run versus stack boxes compared to other boxes and zone runs versus man runs, ISO, duo, etc. We track all this stuff. You get all of that with an FTN subscription and picks and fantasy and a bunch of new basketball stuff. People should check the NBA stuff that we are doing right now. The NBA Stats Hub on FTNFantasy.com is currently free for you to check out. And we have all kinds of new advanced charting and stats for the NBA.
You just got Kelly. You just got Kelly's ears perked.
I was going to say, I already use FTN all the time. I think some great betting resources on there. I love the little prop shop where you can shop around for different books for the best prop numbers. And yeah, I have not seen the new NBA stuff yet, Aaron. So you just got me excited. Be checking that out.
Check it out. Absolutely.
Aaron also happens to be one of 50 voters for the Associated Press NFL Awards. I was telling the story, Aaron, earlier with me, you, Kelly, Matt Brown, when we were all out at Carbone when the award came down, or the vote announcement came down for MVP a couple years ago. We all remember that very well. You voted against Lamar that year, but you were one of the few who voted for Lamar last year, so it was just a reverse thing. Let's talk about MVP for this year. The betting market, just for your own interest, because I'm not even sure if you follow this kind of stuff. Matthew Stafford, -204, Drake May, +156. What are your thoughts as a voter?
I would be shocked if it's unanimous this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be split between these two guys. I will now make an argument for each one.
Okay.
The argument for Matthew Stafford is that Drake May's schedule was phenomenally easy. And you may have seen something going around the internet about how if you look at the ranks of EPA, Drake May didn't actually face an easier schedule than Stafford. I don't know where that comes from. If you look at actual EPA itself, this is not my stat, right? This is EPA that's more public. Drake May played the easiest schedule of opposing pass defenses in the league, and Matthew Stafford's ranked 14th. So it was basically average. By my stats, it's even more of a difference. May played the easiest schedule of pass defenses in the league. Stafford's was the fourth hardest by DVOA. You've got to understand how bad the Jets and Dolphins and Bills defenses were this year. Really bad, especially the Jets. Now, let me make the case in the other way. Puka Nacua. If you subtract the top wide receiver from each player, Drake May comes out even after adjusting for schedule. Even after adjusting for schedule. If you subtract Puka Nacua and Stephon Diggs, May comes out as much better.
Okay.
Stafford's season worked very heavily Puka Nacua.
Which makes for a great transition to Offensive Player of the Year, where it is a four-headed monster between Jackson Smith and Jigba, the aforementioned Puka Nacua. Christian McCaffrey is in there as well. There's also Bijan Robinson, who put up ridiculous stats for the Atlanta Falcons. Your thoughts on this? Jackson Smith and Jigba, by the way, a massive favorite in the betting market, which really doesn't jibe with the stats versus Puka's.
Yes, Christian McCaffrey had the third best season in receiving value for a running back by my numbers, only behind two Marshall Faulk seasons. But he had a terrible season as a runner. Terrible. Next Gen Stats has this rush yards over expectation thing, and he was negative. Like, wow. Puka had the best wide receiver value season ever by my numbers, passing Cooper Kupp 4 years ago. Obviously, having the extra game helps, although Puka did miss a game. You add in, you know, he had better receiving stats, and then you add in he had 10 runs for 105 yards and a touchdown on the ground. But Jackson Smith Njigba was part of an offense that passed less. So Smith Njigba was a bigger part of his own offense than Nacua was. So again, this is a difficult award to pick.
Is Bijan even in the mix, in your opinion?
No, I apologize to Bijan Robinson, but I don't think that he'll be in the mix. He had a great season, and you put five guys down on your ballot. So, I mean, in that way, he's in the mix,
right?
But I don't think he's going to get a lot of number one votes.
All right. You may not appreciate me saying this, but if the whole idea here is for bettors to sort of read between the lines, it feels by those last two dissertations that Aaron might be gravitating towards Puka. I don't know, but I'm just saying it feels like you might be talking Puka there. NFL Defensive Player of the Year. We don't need to talk about this, right? Miles Garrett. It's Miles Garrett. Yeah. Okay. who's second? I have no idea.
The only thing to talk about is the appreciation that we all now have of Al Baker, who unofficially also had 23 sacks as a rookie in 1978. So, yay, Al Baker.
We didn't count stats back then, did we?
Sorry.
No.
Yeah, they didn't count sacks officially.
Yeah. All right, here's one. NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Teteroa McMillan is this massive favorite when the betting markets closed on this. Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, now in that order. Distant second and third shots in this. And then there's Travion, who's fourth. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, my 2 through 5 picks on this are going to blow people's minds.
Oh, really? So are you suggesting that three of these four names will not appear on your ballot at all?
I think the number one guy for this award is pretty obvious.
Oh.
Wow.
Does it rhyme with Federoa Ficfillin by any chance? Okay, don't answer that.
It might.
Don't answer that. Okay. Interesting. That's a pretty interesting comment there. Again, Aaron is one of 50, 2% of the whole vote. NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. The betting market has had Carson Schwechinger as the guy for a long time. Is it that clear to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I like the pregnant pause, by the way. Yeah. That's drama. I like that. Okay.
I'm sitting here going, you know, you're not supposed to talk about who you voted for. But,
yeah.
I mean, Mina, I don't think I'm really giving a lot away.
Mina doesn't have any problem with it. Mina's out there giving hers out also.
Yeah, I'm surprised, man. They're going to call Mina up and tell her not to do that.
She's all about it. All right, this is maybe the one that I think I'm the most fascinated by. I think I speak for Kelly.
Freaking impossible. This award is impossible.
It's impossible.
This award is impossible to pick.
Okay, we're talking about Coach of the Year. How many guys are in the mix in your brain right now?
For me, 7.
Oh, man.
We're in the mix. And there's a couple of others that honestly have good arguments that I didn't consider.
Really? Who are those?
Yeah.
We're talking about like the Sean Paytons of the world?
D'Amico Ryan.
D'Amico
Ryan, yeah. I'd say.
Yeah, I think he's in. Shanahan's in there.
Carolina guy, Canales.
Canales, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's the most – right now, Vrabel, by the way, the favorite, but Mike McDonald lurking. Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson.
I consider all 4 of these guys. I considered 3 other guys. Like this is such a hard award.
Is this the one where you only make your choice right before you submit kind of thing?
No, this one I had made my choice week 18, you know, yeah, I pretty much made my choice before that.
You made your choice before that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, so what was most difficult for you, Aaron? Was it rookie of the year or was it coach of the year?
Oh, no. The most difficult is coach of the year.
Okay.
Most difficult is coach of the year. So many good guys who deserve it.
Okay. I want to follow up on that, but I won't out of respect. Comeback player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. This is, of course, the weirdest award in terms of our recent history with the wording and how they had to change or they had to really crystallize the definition of what this is. Christian McCaffrey becomes the, or has been, the prohibitive favorite in this. Trevor Lawrence lurks, though. Dak, Phillip Rivers, Chris Olave rounding out our top 5 here. You're pretty clear on this or no?
No, this was a hard one also. I think some of the question is, does it matter that Phillip Rivers was not good? Because it's a great story. It's a great story. It's absolutely a comeback. Like, he didn't come back from an injury, but that's absolutely a comeback. That's what this award is for. But he wasn't good.
Yeah. So that sounds to me like you considered it, but then maybe not so much once the performance happened?
You know, you do get 5 spots on your ballot.
Okay. All right. So he's not going to be 1, it feels like, but he'll be on the ballot, it sounds like. Okay. Aaron, I appreciate it. That's very, you're as transparent as you were able to be. I appreciate that. I think there's enough to read between the lines on a lot of that stuff. Again, just 1 of 50 voters. I'll remind everybody again, FTN, the place that they should go, FTN's URL or Twitter or wherever.
FTNFantasy.com. That is the main URL, FTNFantasy.com. And definitely check out the Stats Hub. Check out the GOAT subscription. All the new basketball stuff at the Basketball Stats Hub at FTNFantasy.com. And like you said, the prop bet tool that gives you your best odds for different prop bets.
Your favorite wild card play is what, by the way? 10 seconds.
My favorite wild card play is probably the Patriots over the Chargers at 3.5.
Okay. Aaron, thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure. So great. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Aaron Schatz, everybody, creator of DVOA. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, Gil Alexander, Kelly Billy, as well Ty Simpson from Alabama, making himself eligible for the draft. Hear about this? Ty Simpson from Alabama, who had to leave the game the other night with the injury, but had a great season for Alabama.
Did he still have eligibility left?
I believe he did, right? Yeah, absolutely.
The way
otherwise, you don't have to really declare.
Good point, I guess. Yeah.
And by the way, when you declare, I do believe it is required for you to say, I do declare at the end of the sentence.
I don't know if I'd be rushing for the NFL draft with that ending to the season.
Well, you got hurt.
It's a tough image to get out of my mind, at least.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Zills, Duke 90. The awards aren't over until we say they're over. Signed Senator Paul Blutarski from Animal House. Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? I believe is the line. Billy Shakes. It pays to listen after the great Chris Felica gave a heads up. My book did not have the 4-1 make miss posted on Miami. So on December 5th, I got the Canes at 120 to 1 to win it all. Taking a big piece of Ole Miss at +3.5. Does laying -210 to get +7.5 as well create too much dilution? I wouldn't do that part. Just do the +3.5.
Yeah, I fully approve your +3.5, though. Yeah. Get both of them.
Los Vegas 514. Yo, it ain't over. Party's not over. Guy, groove me. My personal favorite Guy song. Ask Young Kelly what his favorite Guy song is. Yeah, I quoted Guy earlier on the show when I said it ain't over.
Dude, I quote guys all the time on the show.
What's your favorite Guy song? No, nothing?
I got nothing, bro.
I like.
Sure.
You can call me crazy. Ryan Hyatt, looking at having a fine meal of chili cheese dogs and tater tots later this week. Can you get Drew Densick, and see what wines or cocktails pair well with this? It will be a bold chili with spicy ketchup on the tots. Thanks in advance for the help. Want this to be a special night for my wife. Well, you are quite the romancer, Ryan Hyatt.
Spicy ketchup.
Forrest Lehman, biddling correct. Captain Crunch peanut butter over Reese's 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, it's not even close.
3JackH3131. Greg, way off base on his cereal take. Reese's Puffs, way too crunchy. Can't hear myself think while I eat. Cocoa Pebbles delivers the right amount of crunch, flavor, and of course, sugar. Brendan S. Just yesterday, I was at my local Costco, and on the end of the aisle, I had to make a conscious decision to pass on the Frosted Flakes. I legitimately said to myself, it wouldn't last until the weekend, and kept moving. I will, however, cave next time. Brendan, I'm with you, man.
I do the same thing. I avoid that whole aisle, because it's the same way. I crack open that box, and before I know it, I've had four bowls of cereal.
And Chris Heath. I locked in three of Greg's Fab Five. I got a little excited. I wasn't able to punch in the last two. Wow, my heart rate. We're going fast on the Fab Five? It'll all be up at VSiN.com. We'll repeat all
the picks.
He's
got more than five. Go to VSiN.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have more. We'll recap the five later on the show.
16, Danny Higgins tells me.
16 picks on VSiN.com/picks. Many more tweets to get to, but we want to bring in Nick Whalen from RotoWire. Nick is always kind enough to join us at this hour every week on a Wednesday. Nick is a senior writer over there at RotoWire. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen. Just replace the L with the number one. Nick, good morning, sir. This must be quite the week for you as a Jaguars fan, man.
It is. We are in unfamiliar territory, to say the least. You know, it's kind of this age-old debate that I've been having with everybody in my life who is basically a Green Bay Packers fan of, okay, is it better to be, you know, in the Packers situation where you're in it every year, but you're setting yourself up for likely disappointment every season, or the Jaguars who are never in these spots and you never have to get up for a big game, but you're also never let down in the way that other fan bases are. The stakes have not been this high for the Jaguars in quite some time. I mean, along with everybody else who's talking about this game, seems to think Jacksonville, you know, is being disrespected as a home underdog against this Bills team. I understand the line. You know, the Josh Allen factor alone, I think, is going to drive a lot of the market around this game. But it's scary, guys. It is scary for me to look at this game, try to be as objective as I can, and just keep coming away thinking Jacksonville's the better team on both sides of the ball. They're the team I trust more defensively. You know, Josh Allen versus Trevor Lawrence. Of course, you're going to give the edge to Josh Allen just in terms of pure quarterback play. But I think everything around Trevor Lawrence, the way that this Jags offense is running right now, feels superior to Buffalo. But to me, it's going to come down to, can the Jags run defense play at the same level that it has throughout the season? Can they force Josh Allen to try to beat them with Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid and ex-Jaguar Gabe Davis in this game? Because the Jags run defense has not allowed even a 75-yard rusher on the year. James Cook rushing prop for this game is sitting around 80.5. If they can hold him under that, I think that's going to make things really, really uncomfortable for the Bills. And, you know, the total in this game is up to 52.5, guys. So the implication is that we are getting a Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen shootout. We'll see. I don't know if that's necessarily the type of game that the Jaguars want to play.
Let's go, Jags. I got bets on the Jags, too. Come on. I feel they're disrespected, too.
I don't know if that's the type of game the Bills want to play, either. I haven't bet that yet, Nick, but I've been kind of staring at that, too. Like, if this goes the Bills' way, right, it's a lot of James Cook running the ball, right? Like, ball control offense. That's what it feels like to me. I might end up on this under.
If I take your Jags fan hat off and I say, what's the, besides that game, what's the one of the most interest to you to watch and to bet, what would you say?
The most interest to me to watch, I think, has to be Packers-Bears. Mm-hmm. Like, there is just so much at stake here. It's the rare playoff game where I think each team's fan base 100% feels like they're winning this game and is 100% confident. You know, even with how both teams ended the season, you know, Bears kind of going in with a whimper. Green Bay has been terrible for the last month. I think this sets up as about the best matchup you could ask for if you're the Packers, given their spot. You know, you've lost four in a row. You lose another key player, it feels like, every single week. The vibes are horrible. People are talking about this as a, you know, a must-win game for Matt LaFleur. And yet, at some books, you're favored in a 2-7 matchup against a team that you've already beaten when you were closer to full strength and then should have beaten again with no Micah Parsons and with no Jordan Love for the majority of that game. So the stakes are just incredibly high in that game because, you know, if Green Bay loses, all of a sudden it's, oh my goodness, we've lost two in a row to the Bears. It feels like there's an official changing of the guard in the division. We've owned this team for the last 20 years, and now maybe we don't. And if Green Bay wins, you know, then it just kind of throws cold water on what's been a really fun and really exciting Chicago Bears season. So that's the game I'm most excited to watch on Saturday. And then I think Chargers Patriots is going to be really interesting, kind of a contrast in styles. You know, I think both teams should actually feel pretty good about this matchup. You know, we've talked about the Chargers all year as this team that, you know, once they lost Rashawn Slater and then Joe Alt on top of that, it was okay. You know, there's probably a defined ceiling on this team. Maybe they could win a wild card game. That's probably about it. I think this is actually kind of a good matchup for them. This Pats team doesn't generate a ton of pressure. They're basically a league average run defense. They're 31st in hurry percentage, 26th in overall pressure rate. And that's while blitzing at an above average clip. So I don't think this is a spot where you're overly concerned about missing those tackles. And of course, the Chargers defense has played as well as any D over the last 2 months here. So I think that's a really interesting one to watch, partially because, you know, of course, New England has been dominant. They've had a great end of the season. You got to go all the way back to week 8, guys. That was the last time that the New England Patriots faced a team that was anywhere near the top 10 in terms of defense.
I agree with you and picking those games, especially that Patriots-Chargers game. I think it's a fascinating game to break down and see where that Patriots schedule. Does it manifest? Chargers, to me, are better than the market believes they are, so that'll be interesting. Let's go to the NBA. 6-6, the Thunder, since their 24-1 start. They are now plus money to win the title. That catches your eye.
It's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, there was discussion like a month ago, you know, it's like, well, is the Thunder at, you know, minus 220? Is that a value right now? Should we bet that? Is that number going to go down at any point? And, you know, I don't think anybody thought we would see, you know, this kind of midseason malaise from OKC. But look, I think now would be the time to buy in on the Thunder. I think the larger sample still suggests that this is pretty easily the best team in the NBA. You know, even with the Thunder sitting at plus money, there's a reason that you have to go all the way to 8-1 before you find the Nuggets, 12-1 for San Antonio. You know, what the Spurs have been able to do specifically against OKC, I think has been a little bit alarming, but it's not even a guarantee that that would be a matchup in the playoffs. You know, the Spurs still have to kind of navigate their way through this big four in the West that includes Houston and Denver. So I think this is probably the best price that we'll see on OKC. And, you know, they've been pretty aggressive in terms of, you know, giving guys nights off. It feels like they have two or three rotation players out every single night. I think they will issue a reminder at some point over the second half that, yes, they are still head and shoulders above the rest of the NBA.
All right. And then NBA tonight, just in the interest of time, you lean under in the Dubs Bucks game.
Yeah, looking at the under 230.5 there. I mean, 9 of the last 11 Milwaukee Bucks games have gone under this number. You know, Milwaukee's 27th in offensive rating over the last 10 games. Warriors have not been a whole lot better. Both of these teams are playing slowly right now, especially Milwaukee. And the Bucks have not really played anybody. They played a lot of mediocre teams, a lot of bad defenses over their last 6 or 7 games. So I think this is a spot where Milwaukee in particular could struggle offensively. And then taking a look as well, guys, at Stephon Castle tonight, over 17.5 points against the Lakers. It's a back-to-back for both teams. Unclear if LeBron will be out there. I don't know if Wembanyama is going to play. But this Lakers team is terrible on defense. Don't let the Pelicans scoring 103 last night fool you. Pels went 10 of 40 from three in that game.
A random to make miss the playoffs. Warriors, pardon me, who are 19-18, are minus 550 to make the playoffs. The Clippers, who are 13-22, are plus 220. You think those numbers are off?
I think so. I think so. And look, the Kawhi injury potential is probably baked into that line. I get that. But there's just not that big of a difference to me right now between those teams. Clippers are only 2.5 games out of the 10 right now. If they make the play-in, I think that's still a really, really dangerous team in a one-game setting. So just something to note right now looking at the futures market.
Nick, appreciate it very much. Thank you. Good luck to the Jags.
Thank you. Means a lot.
Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. The Sharp Plays. Scan the QR code for more. Pardon me, or check them out at sharpplays.com. Not The Sharp Plays, just sharpplays.com. We get tweets beating the book. Y'all are the best listeners in the game. This is from at Shrek McPhee, who says, Opelka had 44 aces and lost? What? It's incredible. And this is the problem with, by the way, tennis picks, VSiN.com/picks, Zach's tennis picks, my tennis picks. Went 2-2 last night, slight win with a big plus 157 dog winning Coleman Wong against Diallo. But my numbers, to give you an idea about Riley Opelka, he's one of these serve bots. 6'10", massive server, not much of a game beyond that is sort of the hack way of describing his game. But my numbers often lead me to fading him, but I don't do it because of what you just described, Shrek McPhee, which is he can always go serve bot, 44 aces. My God, how do you lose that? It's incredible. The numbers guys, Gil, Kelly's so right about the peanut butter Cap'n Crunch being far superior to Reese's Puffs, and give Kelly another gold star for pronouncing Reese's properly. These clowns who call it Reese's are demented. Oh, I hate those people.
Reese's.
Yeah, some people say Reese's.
I guess I've not noticed that one as much. Reese's.
One last tweet from Aya. Oh, he says, the Ravens are looking for a coach to reach invigorate Lamar. The Ravens' next coach should be, we're giving Derrick Henry 400 rushing attempts next year. Henry retires after next year. Lamar has been reached and invigorated.
Oh, man.
And then Ben Handorf, and we got to react to Aaron Schatz's segment. I know we brought Nick Whalen on, but Ben Handorf says, what I'm gathering from Aaron, spot on the Jets, is that Chris Banjo should be getting some head coach interviews, considering how elite his unit was. John Harbaugh immediately comes to mind as an elite head coach that got their start in the NFL as a special teams coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris Banjo, I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron puts him on the ballot at some point. Yep. Not going to win it, but I wouldn't be surprised. We have to react to Aaron Schatz because we have a lot to react to here. Of all the award stuff, what was the most interesting to you?
Well, there was a lot interesting, right? This is whenever you get to talk to someone who actually votes, it's not just getting insight into what the general voter's mindset might be at the current moment, right? Because how often do we talk about we don't know what these odds actually mean, right? So it's great to get just basic general insight, but then I think very specific, right? He holds 2% of the power. This is 2% of the outcome from one man. So the one I wanted to see is, I know I told you off air, I think Aaron Schatz has been great in what really got me angry last year over comeback player of the year and the rules being passed down.
He's
by
the book.
I think Aaron Schatz has been exactly what you would want with a voter in by the book with following those rules and guidelines that were handed down. And the one I think there could be some reaction to was him bringing up Phillip Rivers. We questioned him on the about comeback player of the year. This is going to sound like it was 12 years ago. But Darren Waller came out of retirement to play for the Dolphins earlier in the season. And I think it was Aaron's first quarterly hit we did with him. We asked him about that. You know, how would you treat someone coming out of retirement? And he was very clear then that was a different story to him than what Sam Darnold was a year ago and the whole coming back from sucking. If you're coming out of retirement, he was going to treat that very differently. So I don't think it was still interesting for me to hear, Gil. I'm not floored or shocked, though, to hear him say, you know, hey, Phillip Rivers is probably going to be somewhere on that ballot.
Well, but what it did say to us is that he considered Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
If Phillip Rivers had done really amazing things on the field, if he had been Flacco-esque, if you will, from a few years ago, he would have probably leaned towards voting on him, but he didn't do anything. Phillip Rivers didn't. So he'll be on the ballot, but he won't win it from Aaron's ballot. Mm-hmm. I thought the coach of the year thing was fascinating. He had struggled with coach of the year more than anything. That's not a surprise, but it did sort of sound to me like when he said, I'm just reading between the lines. It sounded to me like when he said he made his decision before week 18, that he's voting Vrabel. That's what it sounds like to me.
You're probably right.
The biggest thing on all that, though, for me was Offensive Player of the Year and his conversation about both MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. The common element was Puka. It sounds to me like he's voting Puka for Offensive Player of the Year. I could be wrong, but that's what it sounded like to me, which tracks with what I was saying yesterday or the day before when these lines were still up. That's the single most mispriced thing going. Puka being 13-1 is completely off. I don't know if he's going to win, But it felt to me like Aaron Schatz was on board with
Puka. That one I'd have to re-listen to. I guess I guess I didn't take away that same thing.
I could
but
be wrong. I'm just reading between the lines.
Right, that's what we're doing here.
And the last thing that was fascinating to me, as I place
it. I mean, Schlesinger was fascinating to me, too.
Okay, I just bet, I'm telling you right now, I just bet Puka to win Offensive Player of the Year at Calci for big money.
Like it.
In terms of the odds you get on that. He's like at 7%. I went Puka. I've already been betting it that way, but now Aaron is like, yes, just follow my instinct on that. The other fascinating thing I thought, Kelly, was when it came to Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, what are we forgetting?
He said, I've got my number one and my number two through five will shock people. And that's when we were showing him the board. So what that sounded to me like was he had his number one definitively. And the three of these four other guys, because we're showing Tet McMillan, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Travion Anderson, three of those four guys, it sounded to me, aren't even going to be on his ballot.
Yeah.
That was the most interesting thing.
It was interesting. It was interesting. I don't think it's not stunning to me that this is going to be, I mean, like, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, I mean, Coach of the Year winner. I would love to see how the orders come down for Offensive Rookie of the Year, right? Because we've talked about it. All these guys, it felt very, very much like they all had a three-week stretch during the season. And none of them really ended all that great, right? Except for Tyler Shuck, I guess. And so I think it's really fascinating to see how these guys are even going to be ordered by people.
Man, let's just say it's Tetero McMillan.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's the guy,
but
let's say it was him. That means that, like, Dart, Shuck, and Travion, none of them are going to be two through five. Not that that matters, but it's like whoever.
We're just like, I don't
it's
know.
It's just a reflection that the market may not in any way represent these voters.
I mean, I don't, like, people have different. Like, Nick Whalen brought this up about Tyler Shuck, right? Like, there's very little precedent for a guy who's played in that few games to get this award. He brought this up a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was a fair point. You don't know how people are going to view that, right? Like, some people might think about that maybe even more strongly than Nick does, and just throw Tyler Shuck out completely. Like, I'm not voting for a guy who's played that few games.
I've made the case that his stats aren't as good as Jackson Dart's. He should be thrown out just based on that box out.
And then the one that I feel like I've gotten a lot of pushback on is, like, I don't think Travion Henderson really belongs in this conversation.
No, I agree.
Like, he's a part of a two-back system.
I say, in all those guessing line shows, I said Ramondre many more times than I said Travion.
I mean, did he have a couple amazing runs and amazing games? Yes, he did. Yeah. Absolutely. But, like, I think Egbuka and even Tyler Warren have had more overall impressive seasons than him.
Love having Aaron on. Can we squeeze in a Win Total Wednesdays? Let's do it. Win Total Wednesdays. Bang.
Are the guys looking over or under? It's another edition of Win Total Wednesday on A Numbers Game.
Are you mad at me for trying to squeeze it?
No, it's fine. It's fine. We can do this quick.
All right. Why don't you go first or me first?
Hit your tennis.
All right. Tennis real quick. I did make a couple tennis bets on a off-the-grid skin.
Okay.
Jannik Sinner to win 3 Grand Slams this year in tennis. 3 out of the 4. I bet it at +450. Jannik Sinner, to me, obviously a two-headed monster on the ATP Tour. Carlos breaks off with Juan Carlos Ferrer, his coach. I got Jannik to win 3 Grand Slams at +450. And I took Iga, the great Iga Swiatek, to win 2 Grand Slams at +350. Again, you have to win exactly that amount for these prices, too, because she's always going to be the French Open favorite. And then win one other. +350 on each.
So glad you said that note. I don't know why I was assuming it was 3+ and 2+. So it is exactly 3 and 2.
If Jannik wins 4 and Iga wins 3, I lose.
You lose money. So
that's right.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. I'll pull. I when you sent these this morning too, I'm gonna pull in some more season long tennis and golf props for us to hit. We'll go country clubbing later in the week here, Thursday or Friday. I did dive into some NBA ones a little bit yesterday. Wanted to bring these up. These are kind of three that are on my radar and one that I'm going to bet. And it's fine that we're a little short on time. It is that top one, Trailblazers. I will be betting they're over. If you're looking at these numbers at home, these are numbers that I pulled yesterday because I knew I wasn't going to plan on betting any of them yesterday. Lakers and Pelicans played last night, obviously. The Blazers over 37.5. We're gonna wait on this, Gil. Why are we gonna wait? This is like the hold cancel go. Who's our guys?
Raz Sports.
The Raz guys.
Right angle sports.
This is the hold, okay? Because we have games against the Houston Rockets, the New York Knicks, and then at Golden State.
Hold.
Are the next four. We're going to hold.
Yeah.
After that point, February 14th, is where we're going to look to jump in. Second easiest remaining strength of schedule. Drew Holiday, Scoot Henderson, likely back at some point.
Scoot!
This team, 21 wins, gets them over the hump of 37.5 if you're staring at that. I really like that one. We'll be betting it. Two other strong leans. Lakers under, defense is a nightmare. Pelicans over.
Warren Sharp next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.